It's not quite a game of Father Said, but I want to do something. I'm going to explain the instructions first, and then I'll walk you through it. And if you have any lung issues, I encourage you just to sit this one out. Okay, so if you have COPD or asthma or something, or you're easy to pass out, I encourage you just to listen. But what I want you to do is to draw in as deep breath as you can, exhale it, and without breathing in again, we'll count to three, and then I want everyone to say Alleluia. Okay, you got that? So breathe in, breathe out, I'll count to three, and everyone will say Alleluia. So breathe in, exhale, one, two, three. Okay, let's try that again. This time, instead of exhaling, as soon as you breathe in, say Alleluia. So breathe in.
Alleluia.
You notice a difference? How many saw, heard a little difference? Why is that? Do you know why? Physically, we need air to be able to make sound. We need air in our lungs, in our bellies, well, not in our bellies, but we need to breathe through our bellies to be able to make sound. That's the number one thing they taught us. Well, they tried to teach us in singing. They didn't do a very good job, and maybe I should go and talk to Heather. But the number one thing is you have to stand up. You have to be able to get your air, shoulders back, breathe with your belly, get that air in your lungs. One of the number one things they taught us in preaching was the value of breathing. In fact, Our homiletics professor, Father Model, told us if we stand at the pulpit and cannot, without the microphones, reach the back of the church, that means we're not breathing right. He was convinced everyone could preach loud and be heard if they were breathing correctly. Something about that reminds us of the Feast of Pentecost, what we celebrate today. And we celebrate, of course, Pentecost was a Jewish feast. The Jews gathered in three particular festivals in Jerusalem before the destruction of the temple, Passover, which we celebrated, of course, with Good Friday and Easter, and Pentecost was 50 days after Passover, and it was a festival of the first fruits as they gathered all those in, and then they had the Feast of Tabernacles where they gathered, and that was the final gathering, the final harvest. And what we celebrate with Pentecost was the descent of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, as we hear in today's first reading. And it was such a ruckus that Luke struggles. It was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. If he were writing in our modern age, he might say the sound of a mighty freight train, just this ruckus, this noise. And why does he use that language? It's because he's doing a comparison, and it's almost a play on words, that the word for spirit can also be translated wind. The word for spirit, pneuma, is a word we get pneumonia from, or pneumatic, like pneumatic air tools. That's a redundancy, isn't it? Pneumatic tools, because pneumatic means air. And pneuma is this word that means breath in Greek. And even the word for spirit in Hebrew is ruah. You almost have to breathe to be able to say it. And ruah means breath, wind, spirit, too. And just like our bodies need breath to be able to speak louder, so too we need the Holy Spirit. As a church, we know that we need the Holy Spirit, that if the Holy Spirit isn't breathing in us as a church, we're not as loud as we should be. And if we pushed that the first one a little bit longer and made you repeat Alleluia, Alleluia without taking a breath in, eventually you would pass out. And the more I think about that, the more I think that's where we are without the Holy Spirit. I can speak for myself. I know so much about myself that I try to do it on my own. I think I don't need the Holy Spirit at times. And then I wonder why it fails. Well, I'm not asking for the Holy Spirit. And it's like our breath itself. How many of us have to stop and think about our breath? Most of us don't. Those with COPD and asthma and pneumonia, we might have to. There was a time where I had severe asthma where I couldn't breathe. It's a terrifying, and I don't even have it as bad as some, but I couldn't get my breath. And I felt like every second I was going to die because I couldn't get that breath. I couldn't breathe in, and I it just hurt. When we think about breathing, we think about it, right? But when we don't think about it, we just take it for granted. We just breathe in and breathe out. We don't even think about it. And maybe that's part of the problem with the Holy Spirit. We're surrounded by the Holy Spirit. God gives us the Holy Spirit, and we're surrounded by it day in, day out, but we don't call upon the Holy Spirit because we don't think about it. And we cause ourselves to have spiritual asthma. Or maybe it's more severe, spiritual COPD, where it gets to the point where we can't breathe. And no matter what we do, we can't do it. And how do we get around this? Well, I think it's simply stopping and asking the Holy Spirit. There's 1,000 different prayers, and not literally 1,000, maybe there is, but how to pray for the Holy Spirit, there's lots of them. And all of them are good. But maybe the simplest is the best. Come, Holy Spirit. We've already prayed that in the sequence. We prayed it, I lost count after 10. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just asking for the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to enliven us, to set us on fire. Come, Holy Spirit. And we know as Catholics, we have the great graces of the sacraments. The first gift of the Holy Spirit is actually given in baptism. That when we, and most of us have been baptized here, when we're baptized, we are given that gift of the Holy Spirit which enlivens us and is the life of God in us. And to call upon that Holy Spirit, to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Sacrament of Confirmation, of course, is the fulfillment and the full gift of the Holy Spirit with all his gifts. And those gifts, as we hear in our today's second reading, those gifts are given to each individual, not for the individual, not for their own good, but for the building up of the church, the building up of society, that the church would be a loud witness in the world. Again, we might be able to speak something to the world on our own, but it's like us not breathing. We're not going to be able to do it long, and we're not going to be able to do it loud. But if we have the Holy Spirit with us, it will be long, it will be loud, it will be sustained, because it's not us, but it's God speaking through us. On our own, we can't even say, as we hear, Jesus is Lord. That is the presence of the Holy Spirit in us that allows us to even say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, if we're not asking for the Holy Spirit to be in us, how can we proclaim Jesus Christ to the world? How can we? So coming back to the sacraments, and perhaps there's one that is so often neglected, and that's the sacrament of reconciliation. I've been reflecting on that alone. So often, if we have that spiritual asthma, maybe we should see the sacrament of reconciliation as the inhaler. That moment to stop, to take a deep breath, to say, this is where I'm suffering, Lord. This is what I need your presence, your Holy Spirit to help me with. This is where I need you, God. That great sacrament, well, he gives us his breath. Without it, as we just prayed in the sequence, where the Spirit is absent, we have not. We have nothing. Nothing. As we come this day, we call to mind the need that we have for the Holy Spirit. That deep desire we ought to have. And take a moment to reflect. And the church gives us this feast not only because we're celebrating Pentecost, not only because it's a day to celebrate, but to remind us that we need a new Pentecost yet. Each one of us needs that Pentecost. Each one of us needs the Holy Spirit. Just as the church cannot live without the Holy Spirit, we individually cannot live without the Holy Spirit. You as seniors cannot live without the Holy Spirit. And we gather today and we honor you and we thank God for all the gifts and the treasures that he has already given to you and allowed you to have and display. But as we gather, maybe it's a reminder too that it wasn't you who did all the work alone. Your family supporting you, your loved ones assisting you, but it's God who did the good work in you. And we pray that God would continue that good work and bring it to fulfillment in the high school graduation. But we know, too, that if you take the Holy Spirit with you from this community you will serve and be a good witness to Christ in the world. By taking the Holy Spirit with you, you will be the person God has created you to be. And as St. Catherine of Siena says, if you are the person God has created you to be, you will set the world on fire with his love, on fire with his truth, on fire with the Holy Spirit. For all of us, we need to breathe more deeply the Holy Spirit, to breathe more deeply God's grace, God's life. So come, Holy Spirit, come.